It is indeed a privilege to be here, a pleasure to see all of you here. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Before we read that particular passage, we want to discuss a record of the first to need a Savior. Genesis chapters 1 through 3 gives us the account of creation. It gives us the account of placing man in the garden. It gives us the account of the sin which separated man from God. Following the reading of these chapters and realizing how that these things continued through time, it might be tempting to cast an accusing glance back at Adam and sarcastically say, well, thanks a lot. The reason that some might be inclined to do so is because, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, by one man, sin entered the world. But such an attitude reeks with pride and overlooks our own weakness. We need to realize and understand that Adam was only the first in a long line of those who need a Savior. We needn't point our fingers at or blame Adam, as we have the choice, just as Adam had the choice, whether or not to do the bidding of God. Very few people who have read anything about the Bible can say that they don't know anything about Adam. It's because as a child, if we were taken to Bible school or Sunday school, they taught about the creation. They taught about Adam. And there is relatively little said about Adam, even though he lived for 930 years. There's relatively little written about Adam, even though he was the Son of God. But what we do have recorded are a few crucial mistakes. Now, these mistakes, even though they were made and even though they were recorded, we should not use those to measure his life. But we rather should use them so that we might also learn some important lessons. According to our text, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we see that Adam introduced sin into the world. And someone would stop me right here and say, wait a minute, hold it. The woman sinned first. Well, isn't that just like us? To point fingers at a woman. We need to be careful when we do that for various reasons. But let's talk about this. What does the Scripture say? What does the Bible tell us regarding sin and how it came into the world? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, we contemplate life. We deal with death and the pain and the suffering that goes along with it. Not necessarily the people who have died, but those of us left behind. And if we stop and think about it, we have Adam and Eve to blame for that. For by them and their sin, death passed upon all men. But we need to also read the last part of that verse and realize that it continues to pass upon us because all have sinned. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, we go back and read just a small portion of what was to take place in the Garden of Eden. And we can see how that she transgressed and that also how Adam transgressed. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now we need to realize and understand what has just occurred. Satan, in the form of a serpent, came to her and says, what God told you is not exactly right. Notice that he did not point out that what God had told them was wrong. He put a little twist on it. What God has told you is not exactly right, because the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods. But what God had told them was exactly right. The day they ate thereof, they died. They began to die. They separated themselves from God. But notice what had occurred here. The woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. How many times have we looked upon something and said, you know, that is attractive? How many times have we gotten ourselves in trouble? I like the look of that car. I'm going to buy that car. And your wife cries all the way home, how are we going to pay for the car? I don't know, but I got a new car. This is the way that this was made to appeal to her. Doesn't it look good? You've never had that fruit before, have you? I don't listen to what God says. He didn't mean what he said when he said what he said. Notice also that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Who does not want to be wise? And so Eve took it, and she ate, and she gave to her husband. And we know as we go ahead and read the story that their eyes were opened. They realized some things that they never had realized. They realized that they were naked. They also realized shame, and they tried to cover themselves. We'll get to that in just a minute. And we can say, as we look at this, well, their sin was in partaking of the fruit. Adam's sin was in partaking of the fruit. But more so than that, Adam failed in his headship. Headship or authority is not about power, but about responsibility. Adam had the responsibility to guide his wife by setting the right example, by saying no. All too often we find ourselves pulled about from place to place and direction from one direction to another because we heed what other people say. More often than not, we do so because we heed what we want. A selfish attitude. But headship is about responsibility. Adam was the head of that family. And God was the head of Adam. Now, God did not let Adam down. He put him in the garden. He gave him everything that he could ever need or want. An idyllic lifestyle. You don't have to work. You got all the food you need. Everything's good. But Adam let God down. He let his wife down. He did so by not properly shouldering his responsibility and refusing to eat of the fruit when it was offered to him. I can almost hear the excuses now. But this woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. And I ate it. How many times do we follow that pattern in this life? It's always somebody else's fault. He could have shouldered the responsibility. Oh, I didn't say it was going to be easy. Life is not easy. We have those today who shoulder the responsibility to serve and worship God when those who are their loved ones refuse to do so. And I applaud them. It's hard. But Adam did not do this. In this, it seems that Adam set a pattern different from God's pattern, which mankind has followed throughout time. You stop and think about it. Man is a follower. The problem is there are way too many choices. I've talked about this before. One of the choices that we have on Sunday is where you want to eat. I don't know where you want to eat. I don't know where you want to eat. And back and forth it goes. And sometimes we get all the way into Charlotte. Well, let's eat. Okay, where? But Adam and Eve didn't have all as many choices. Eat or not eat. They had all this other stuff to eat. Their bodies had been sustained some way. They did not have to eat of this fruit. And so Adam let her down when he failed in his headship. We have another case of failed headship in the Bible in the New Testament in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This gives the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And we know what is occurring there. The church has been born. People were excited about it. And as they were gathering themselves together, they realized that others had need. And as these others had need, they were finding ways in which to provide. We see that Barnabas had a piece of land, and he went and sold it, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, Ananias saw that, and he says, you know what? We can get some praise here. Let's do this too. The head of the house was complicit in the situation. Ananias, as the head of the family, could have changed the outcome by taking the lead and doing what was right. What did they do? Did they not give money? Of course they did. Is it wrong to give money? No, it's not. But they conspired to say, look at all we've given, and held back part. And his wife participated in it as well. This does not negate the responsibility of his wife, Sapphira. She was responsible for her actions. And we need not think, well, my spouse was the one that caused this bad situation. My spouse is the one that caused me not to go to services, to be obedient, to be faithful. Because that excuse will not hold up at the judgment. Sapphira had within her power. When asked the question, was the land sold for so much? She said, yay, so much. She could have said, well, we sold it for what we brought plus $100. And she would not have sinned. Men in many families today fail in their leadership roles. I have heard recently that in times past, the Mooresville congregation had 3 times as many women as men. Makes you kind of ashamed to be a man. Not really. That means there's more work to do. We need to reach out to these men to explain to them their leadership roles, how that they can guide their family to the right. But sadly, it's often left up to the women to raise the children, to see to it that the gospel is they're exposed to the gospel in their house. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, we see a passage that is beneficial to all of us, because we see that in what Ananias did and what Eve did, taught against. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. And the latter part of the passage is what we want to focus on right now. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. This world is full of stumbling blocks. This world is full of pitfalls. But we do not need to place them in our brother's way. We need to remove those things, if at all possible. Jesus himself warned of this in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. He was talking to his disciples. He was warning them that offenses would come. He was warning them that they would not have a bed of roses, a pleasant life, or an easy way. He said to them, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Friends, we do not need to put stumbling blocks in front of people. We need to show them the way, point out the pitfalls, and show them that they too, just like Adam, were in need of a Savior. We also need to realize and understand that there were residual effects to Adam's sin, and these residual effects were great. We've already pointed out one of them. Because of Adam's sin, man died. On the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Well, did they die right then? No, it goes on to tell us that they lived. They had other sons and daughters. But they died spiritually. They were separated from God. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, we can see this, that the ramifications were great, or the residual effects were great. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, we need not misunderstand this. There are those today that would read this passage and say, Jesus Christ came and died, and so we are all righteous. That is the furthest thing from the truth. That's just about as true as saying, go ahead and eat it. You will not die. Because when Jesus Christ came and died, he opened up the way. We must go into the way. By Adam, all would die. By Christ, all may live. But not all will live. For some refuse to accept this Savior. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, we see the account of when the Lord spoke to them and spoke regarding what they had done. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. There have been those that have tried every way that they can think of to get around this verse. If Adam and Eve would have remained in the Garden of Eden and had not disobeyed God's law, how long would they have lived? Well, God said he put them out of the garden, lest they put forth his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever. How would you like to know that you were personally responsible for some great tragedy? How would you like to know that the things that you had done reflected down through the ages in a negative way? Don't you think Adam's actions haunted him the rest of his life? He brought sin into the world. It would have bothered me. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We cannot be isolated or an island or separate to the point that we don't, and our actions don't affect other people. Because everything that we do or say has an impact on other people. Entire sermons, indeed entire books, can be written upon the influence that we have on other people. How we act, how we talk, how we dress, what we do. But just like Adam, when we find ourselves caught up in these situations, we foolishly try to hide the sin. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we see what happened. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Well, now, did the Lord need to ask that question? He knew exactly where they were. He knew what they had done. Where art thou? Previously, I have no doubt that when God walked in the midst of the garden, or the voice of God, as it says here, walked in the midst of the garden, that Adam and Eve heard him, and they did not hide themselves. At this point, they hid themselves because they had sinned. In Numbers 32 and 23, we have a passage, and the latter part of it is always used. But I want to read the whole passage this morning. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Somebody might say, well, what is that? What is that if you do not do so? It doesn't matter. If we break God's law, we've sinned against the Lord. And what's the last part of it? And be sure your sins will find you out. We may get through this life hiding some of our sins. We may arrive at the judgment, and people may think that we are the finest human that ever walked the face of the earth. But all things are open to God. He will know all of the things that we have done. Psalms 44:21 tells us this. It tells us, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart, the things that are within us, the thoughts of our minds. He knows these things. And he knows what we do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, we see in this noble statement, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." We can do good here on this earth. We can live according to God's law. We can stand before God and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or we can do as we desire or as other people direct us, and we can stand before God and maybe hear the words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Because if we have sinned from God, sinned against God, we are not His. And that's why we need a Savior. Psalms verse 32 and 1 tells us as we conclude, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." We need to understand that we have the ability today to have our sins covered, to have our transgressions forgiven. And Adam, even though he was the first to need a Savior, I want you to take just a moment, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, and then look at yourself. We all need a Savior. Adam made some pretty serious mistakes that affected the entire history of the world. We too have within ourselves the ability to change the course of countless lives. All, who am I? I'm just one person. I'm a small fish in a big pond. But we have the ability by teaching and preaching the gospel. What is more foolish than the mistakes of Adam are the mistakes we make when we repeat his mistakes. But we can't get to the Garden of Eden. We can't partake of that fruit. No. What I'm saying is, when we sin and we try to hide it, we repeat his mistakes. And we are ever in need of a Savior. To resolve to avoid sin, influence others for good, not only will help us save ourselves, but others also. They will look at us. They will see us. Friends, we need to understand that people watch us, and they know how we live in public. And they will react accordingly. Let's avoid sin. Let's influence others for good. Let's take the glorious news of the gospel to everyone, so that when we leave this life, when we depart this sphere, we will have done something good for everyone else. Adam, the first to need a Savior, but everyone from Adam on need that Savior too. The Bible teaches in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, that a person is to hear the word of God. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." We are also taught, as we contemplate obeying the gospel, that we are to believe. John 8:24 says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Acts 2:38, we are told to repent. When those people realized that they had crucified the Son of God and therefore were separated from God, they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and to be baptized. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, where Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We have there an approved example, an inspired example of confessing. And Mark 16:16 makes it as plain as it can be made. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." We need to also understand that once we have taken those steps, we've heard, we've believed, we've repented of our sins, confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and been baptized into Christ, that we must live faithfully unto death. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, we see a list of things that we are to do. And then we see the response, or the result, if we do those things. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to go to heaven, and I want you to go too. This is how God has said that we can go to heaven. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then remain faithful unto death. Have you done these things? Have you heard the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? Have you repented of your sins? Are you ready to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then to be baptized, buried in the watery grave of baptism, and then begin a life anew, dedicated to serving him and following his will? If you have done those things and have not been faithful, you too can come back. You can reestablish that relationship through repentance and prayer to once again be the child of God, waiting for that glorious promise. We're going to open our song books to the invitation song, as was announced. I'm going to ask if you have need to respond to the gospel invitation, do so as together we stand and sing this song.